giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect day, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. Because I'm alive in you, and it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. And I am alive because I'm alive in you. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead men's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. I'm alive. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life. Thank you. saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught
We reach times in our lives where we can feel completely powerless over circumstances around us, and things that are going on in our lives or in the lives of others that we love, care about. We talk about those sometimes when people experience loss or they're going through grief. We talk about how powerless it can feel sometimes to be able to offer them any kind of real solace. As a pastor, you face those times a lot. I remember back early on in my life, somewhere in about my mid-teenage years, there was a point at which I'm sure most people experience some form of this, where you feel like everybody in the world has abandoned you. And you have to figure out where you're going to come from, what it is that you're going to pull your reserves from. Where's your power going to come from to get through this circumstance? These circumstances that we faced over the last few months have left several people feeling that way. Where do you turn? If you worry about a virus, are you overreacting or underreacting? If you're worried about social issues, are you speaking out enough or too much? You have these areas where there's no direct right way to turn. So you have to pray, you have to fall on God, and you have to move forward regardless of whether or not you think every decision you make is good, bad, or indifferent. But it can leave you feeling powerless. So when you come to verses like these that we've been studying in Ephesians, it's such a reassuring aspect to know that your power, the power that we're going to have as believers to get through this circumstance, is not our power. It's not the power that we possess. It's the power that possesses us, so to speak. It's the power that's within us that continues to do things that we never thought really possible. During my time at Fairlawn, I've now been associated with this church in some fashion or another for 16 years, a little over 16 years. In that 16 years, we as a church have faced plenty of times where it looked like God might be ending his time at the church. And then we have also seen the flip side of that, where it seems like God is just blessing us beyond measure. Each time that we've experienced a low, we've seen God do amazing things and turn a low into a high. My prayer for us as we continue through the time that we're in now is that he does that exact same thing. Because this whole pandemic we've gone through, the social issues that are going on in our country are testing not just our church, I believe they're testing every church to its possible limits, and every pastor to their possible limits. So when we feel powerless to address the issues going on in our world, we have to remember that it's not our power that will determine the success going forward. It will be the power that Christ possessed. It will be the power that brought Christ back from the dead. It will be the power that brought me back from death. If death cannot defeat the power that is within us, what exactly are we afraid of? Why are we fearful? The power at work within us will deliver us, as he delivered Christ and as he promises in Scripture for each one of us who believe. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to read these verses. We're actually really going to focus on Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. That's the only ones I'm going to read this morning. Then we're going to go through a series of other scriptures. But as far as the verses 14 through 21, we're going to read mainly 20 and 21. But I'm going to pray for us first, and then we will start our service. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't know the answers. We don't have the power. We don't always make the best decisions. We don't always make bad decisions. But Lord, we are sinful people who tend to do sinful things. And in this moment, we need the power that is within us, the power you have placed there. the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to lift us above ourselves. Help us, Lord, to witness your power at work within our church, within our city, within our state, within our country. You, Lord, can accomplish this. You can do far more than what we ask. And Lord, we look forward to seeing it. It is your promise, Lord. We simply call on you to fulfill it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The verses read like this: Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's a great passage. It reminds us that he's able to do far more than we think or even ask him to do. That we can glorify him in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of a pandemic, or in the midst of social unrest. We can still praise our Lord because he is stronger than all those things. He who is within us is stronger than he who is within the world. Satan, I believe, is having a field day with people right now. Whether it's anything from helping people to feel defeat to helping people to feel conflicted or just powerless. Maybe today, if more than any other day, we need to really be aware of the power that is within us, the presence that's there, the ability that we have to look within and see Christ that we talked about over the last couple, 3 weeks, and to draw on that power. To see that power at work, not only in us, but in the world around us. The Baker Bible Encyclopedia says that this power is the ability to do things by virtue of strength, skill, resources, or authorization. In the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament, there's several different word uses for power. What the Bible says about power could be summed up under really four headings: the unlimited power of God, the limited power God gives to his creatures, the power of God seen in Jesus Christ, and the power of God by the Holy Spirit in the lives of his people. We see those four examples of this power of God throughout Scripture. Sometimes we get caught up in the limited power that God gives his creatures. We get frustrated by that power. It reaches its end. There's only so much we can do. Sometimes we fall on the power seen in Jesus Christ and understanding our forgiveness and our redemption, and understanding the completed work of Christ on the cross. Sometimes we fall towards the power of God in the Holy Spirit that lives within our lives. But at least for today, I want us to focus a little bit more on the unlimited power of God. The fact that his power is not limited by our circumstances, by what we're going through. Nothing that we are experiencing now contradicts the power of God. Nor does it diminish it or contain it. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12 says, Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all this in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. It's a great verse to remind us exactly who it is that we are dealing with when we talk about God. He's the creator of all things. He's the bestower of all things. It tells us elsewhere in Scripture there isn't anyone in power that wasn't placed there by God. God is in control even when the world around us seems so out of control. The Old Testament refers often to this power as the mighty hand of God. Exodus 6:6 says, Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with acts of judgment. This passage is displaying this mighty hand of God that's going to play a part in the people of Israel. In Psalms 44, 2 and 3, it says, You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. I could argue that this maybe is one of the areas that we seem to have gone off the rails as a country, even maybe as a congregation nationally. We forgot that God blessed us with this land. God blessed us with the religious freedoms we have experienced for 200 years. We did not do this. He did this. And because we forget that He did this, we begin to give ourselves entirely too much credit. That we did it, and since we did it, we should change it. We should abandon Him and turn to our own devices. Not remembering that our power is limited and His power is not. Jeremiah 10:12 says, It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. This power is at work within us. Think about that for a minute or two. That power is at work within us. Jeremiah 27:5 says, It is I who by my great power and my outstretched arm have made the earth, when the men and animals that are on the earth, and I give it to whomever it seems right to me. That power is at work within you as a believer. 2 Chronicles 20:6 says, And say, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. And that power is at work within you as believers. Ephesians 1:19 says, And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might? That power is at work within you. Our problem is that we won't get out of the way of that power. We consistently step in and try to do it on our own, apart from Him. But that same power, His mighty hand, His outstretched arm, His immeasurable greatness is at work in you. Romans 8:11 says, If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Paul is such a great example of the power of God at work in the life of an individual. He writes these words in Ephesians after having recapped the fact that we have been chosen by God,
planned by God, purposed by God, guaranteed by God through the Holy Spirit, turned around and taken from life to death. That we are no longer have to worry about any kind of class warfare inside of the body of Christ. That there's no such thing as a second class Christian. He outlines all of those things. Talks about the way we should treat each other. Turns around and says, this work, this power that is at work within us. Talking about how God is changing, willing, and transforming us. That's the same power that took Christ from death to life. It's the same power at work in you. Of this power, I am proof. If Paul isn't enough proof, my life was certainly not headed in a direction of God. But even that time frame that I talked about in my teenage years where it felt like all of life had abandoned me and people had turned different directions away from me. Still yet, even before I had acknowledged him, he was at work in my life, bringing me through those times to bring me to a point in 2004 where I finally surrender my life to him. He brought me from death to life. Not only from that, then he gives me this life where now I stand here as the pastor of this church. That power is at work within you. God is able. Paul says in verse 20, to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. He's been just talking all the way through these passages about saving the Gentiles. Imagine that. You have to go back and place yourself in the position that would have been in the religious world at that time. The Gentiles were as far from God as you could get. They would be those people that we think in our mind, God can't even save those people. And how did he display his power? He saved those people. Those that weren't even looking for him. Who weren't even trying to put on a facade of religiousness. Who would have ever asked or thought that God would save such spiritually profligated people? But he did. And God has done the same for many that are currently sitting here today. Perhaps in former days, you were those that were far off. I was those that were far off that have now been brought near by the blood of Christ, by the power of God that works within us. Did you ever actually think you would be sitting here? A believer of Christ? I sure didn't. I am proof of the power of God. You are proof of the power of God, the power that is at work within us. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. This is Paul stating this. Paul that we're studying. Paul that we read in Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Two-thirds of the New Testament. Of whom I am foremost. You ever felt like that? Like you're the foremost sinner in the world? Like you've done so many things that God could not possibly want you. Paul sure did. I sure have. But the power at work within us saves people who are unworthy, who are unclean, who have nothing at all to offer. It can do far more than we ask, far more than we believe. Romans 15:17 says, "In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, but only in Christ Jesus." The things that we have accomplished together as a church, we have pride because of what Christ has done, not because of what we have done. The power at work within us has done so many amazing things. In case we want to make sure we understand who it is that's writing this, if you go back to Acts 9:1-9, we can hear a little bit about Paul's salvation. His name then was Saul, later changed to Paul. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." And the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And after 3 days, he was without sight and neither ate nor drink. The very power of God came down around and changed this man. And the power of God continues to change hearts and lives today. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, I talk to people all the time that say, "How could it be an easy burden? I don't understand that. It seems like you guys have so many rules as Christians, so many regulations. Why is it light? Because you're not the one bearing the weight. Jesus is. It is the power at work within you that is saving your life, not you. Please understand that. You are not saving you. He is saving you. You need to rely on Him for your salvation today as much as you did the day you surrendered your life to Him. That power is at work within you, changing us, bringing us to a point where we become more and more the fullness of Christ. John 15:4-5 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself." Remember, Jesus is the one bearing the burden. The vine holds the branches up. The branches don't hold the vine up. "The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Have we really not seen that? I've certainly seen it in my life, that every time I think I'm going to operate in my power, it has limits. I can't do it. I have to fall on the power that is at work within me. The Holy Spirit that gives us that power from God, that teaches us the way, that sanctifies us, that brings us to that place where we grow in the Lord more and more and more. If we will fall on Him, if we will abide in him. If we will ask this power that is within us, I truly believe we can impact our world. We can see God at work already in the lives of believers in several areas of this world. And he is at work within us as well. I still firmly believe that half of the time the reason why we feel unrest or unsettled or somehow a little like something's missing is because we are simply trying to do things in our own power. What's missing is our reliance on our Creator. If we will abide in Him, if we will ask this power that is working within us, we can impact our country. We can impact our state. We can impact our city. It is not hopeless. Why? Because the power at work within us is the very power of God. It is the power of Him who spoke the world into existence. It is the power of Him who delivers His people. It is the power of Him who rose Jesus from the grave. There's a very popular song written by Jeremy Camp called Same Power, which just a God thing. But the moment that we got to these verses, I get in my vehicle and I turn on the radio and this song is playing. It's so clear, the message of our power and the power that is working within us. But these are the lyrics. I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. It lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us. It lives in us. We have hope that His promises are true. In His strength, there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power lives in us because He lives in us. Romans 8, 31 and 39 says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who has separated us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That same power is at work within you. To Him be glory in our church, and to Him be glory in my life. I am extremely grateful for His power that is at work within me. His power has chosen me. His power adopted me. His power promises to save me. Thank the Lord for His power to save. Then we can echo Paul's words now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That power is or can be working in you too. As we go to our time of invitation, we're going to be celebrating communion at the end of our invitation period here. One of the things that Scripture reminds us is to make sure that we evaluate, that we pray through and ask God to remove those things that may be between us and Him before we participate in communion. One of those things that might be there is you have yet to surrender your life to the Lord. You don't have that power at work within you yet, but you know you need that power at work within you. So if that is something you need to do, you can come forward during this time of invitation and we can help you understand how to surrender your life to Christ. If you need to come forward and pray at the altar, you can do that. If you want someone to pray with you, you'll need to go to that person directly. So we won't come up to you. We'll respect your space unless you ask us into it. But as we go about this time of invitation, I'm going to stay up here so that you guys can feel free to come to the front. Plus, it'll help a little bit when we get ready to do the elements. But I'm going to pray for us, and we'll stay. You can stand, if you would, please. Stand with me. We'll pray, and we'll go through our time of invitation. If there's something between you and God that you need to resolve, now would be that time. And if you have anything that you need prayer for, now would be that time, too. I would remind you that, just like he had mentioned a few minutes ago, Rick did, Sam, who normally plays the bass, in case you don't know him personally, his wife is in very critical condition right now. So take a couple moments and pray during this time for them as well. I will, too, as we pray corporately. But they're not the only ones. We have other families in our church that are also experiencing that same thing with some loved ones. The Cunningham family, they're dealing with some issues with health with her father. So it's just, we have that all around us. But we know that the power that's worked within us can remedy these circumstances one way or the other. You know, if a believer goes home, that's the ultimate healing. So we can't regard that otherwise. So let's pray, and then we'll go to our time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for who You are, for what You've done in my life, what I've witnessed You do in others. Lord, I'm humbled by Your power. The thought of everything that You have been able to overcome in my life, let alone the lives of those in the congregation, is overwhelming. Lord, today I call on that power for the Kirby family, what they're going through. Lord, I pray that for our other families that are dealing with similar circumstances. Lord, I think of John Smith and his family as he passed this week. Today he stands in Your presence, fully healed, fully restored. I envy where he is. And I praise You for the power that got him there. Lord, I thank You for this church, for the love of this church. I thank You for the power I see in it, the spirit I see in it. Lord, we know that this virus will not defeat us, these social issues will not defeat us, if we will just fall on Your power. Lord, thank You. I ask Your blessing on this time of invitation. Lord, I ask You to prepare our hearts to receive communion. Help us, Lord, to see the things between us and you, where we need to place them, how we need to pray about them. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your Son, for the sacrifice, for the forgiveness, and for the power it brought to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children.
Greater is He that is living.
You can be seated. It's going to be hard enough to manage this with the masks on and then to be standing and then try to do it too. We're going to do it a little bit different than we would normally do it, just in the fact that because I know it's difficult to get these packages open and masks down and everything else, if you'll go ahead and try to open the cellophane piece on the top, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read these scriptures as a block, then we will take both elements and we'll pray, and then there's a video, and then we'll do our offertory prayer. So that way we'll take them all at one time. You don't have to take the mask off, put it back on, take it off, put it back on. So let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such an interesting time we live in. Interesting is probably the kindest word I can give it. Lord, even in this time, we're commanded to remember the sacrifice that was paid, the price you were willing to give for our salvation, for Christ's willingness to go to the cross and endure what he did there. Lord, then the power that rose him from the grave, we proclaim that in this act of communion. Lord, I pray that you are blessed because of our worship today in communion, but Lord, I pray that we also are blessed by our worship through communion. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Please take both. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Your power continues to amaze me. Here we are, a church in a pandemic, a church in the middle of civil unrest, a church even divided in opinions amongst ourselves. And yet, here we can come. Here we can celebrate the communion. Here we can be united in Christ. Lord, we do proclaim your death till you come. And Lord, we hearken you. Come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm your deacon of the week this week. Let's go in prayer for our offertory. Almighty God, Lord, we just need you. Lord, we need you as individuals. We need you as families. We need you as this church. Lord, we need you in our community, and Lord, we need you in our nation. Lord, I just pray that you be with us this coming week, Lord. Just give us the strength to be bold for you, to be a light in this community. Lord, just use this tithes and offerings to further your kingdom, Lord, to reach the lost. Lord, to help us raise up our children and our youth to be the Christian leaders of tomorrow. Lord, as I ask you to bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray.